You're tuned in to Eric's Movie Club. And now, here's Eric.
Thank you, Jeff. This is Eric's Movie Club. We all use streaming services these days, and there's one thing that always happens. We spend way too much time choosing something to watch. That is where I come in on every episode of my show. I will recommend a movie you can check out on one of the major streaming services. And today's movie recommendation is a sci-fi classic. It is Blade Runner. I would file this one in the category of cult film. However, it is certainly a celebrated one. I'll tell you why I think you should check it out and where you can watch it. Also, where does this movie rank amongst Harrison Ford's best performances? Get into that a little bit later on. Let's start with movie news.
Movie news.
A couple episodes ago, I talked about Disney's decision to charge extra money on top of your Disney Plus subscription for the new Mulan movie. I think it's an odd decision. However, it's definitely worked out for them in retrospect. Recently, an analytics firm said that 29% of U.S. households with a Disney Plus subscription bought the movie, actually paid the extra $29.99. They estimate that means about 9 million households bought the movie. That would add up to about $261 million. And that's just in the United States. It was released theatrically in regions where Disney Plus isn't available. Meanwhile, a movie that has been released to theaters, Tenet by Christopher Nolan, that has so far made $207 million worldwide. Just to put that in perspective against Mulan. Yeah, that decision by Disney certainly paid off. And this is sad news. The author of the Forrest Gump book, Winston Groom, died this past week in his home state of Alabama, 77 years old. No word on the cause of death. Now, I think a lot of people have seen the movie Forrest Gump, but maybe you haven't read the book, and you might be surprised to learn of some of the differences between the book and the movie. For instance, Forrest Gump in the book is a 6'6", 242-pound teenager. And in fact, Winston Groom actually thought the character should be played by John Goodman at first. And that was the first choice, not Tom Hanks. And also, he's a little rougher around the edges in the book than he is in the movie. He has much more of a sex life, for one thing. Also, he swears a lot. At one point, he's even in a band with Jenny, and he smokes pot. This does not sound real, but I assure you it is. Also, Forrest has many more jobs in the book than he does in the movie, including he's an astronaut, a chess champion, a professional wrestler called the Dunce. He also plays a monster in A Creature from the Black Lagoon, which is a remake starring Raquel Welch. So he's an actor as well. And also, and this is one of the biggest changes from the book to the movie, Jenny doesn't die in the book, believe it or not. She marries another man. In fact, she actually left Forrest while pregnant with Forrest Jr. because she saw him kissing another girl. Clearly, very different from the movie, but who's to say which is better? The movie is beloved and also critically not so beloved, but I think it's a fun movie anyway. Rest in peace, Winston Groom. Let's move on to today's movie recommendation.
It's time for Eric's movie recommendation.
So our movie today is Blade Runner from 1982. It was directed by Ridley Scott, written by Hampton Fancher and David Peoples. It's based on the Philip K. Dick novel, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? It's a question we've all asked ourselves. It was released in 1968, the book was. The movie stars Harrison Ford, Rutger Hauer, Sean Young, and Edward James Olmos. And the movie takes place way in the future, all the way in 2019. In a dystopian Los Angeles, synthetic human beings known as replicants are made by the Tyrell Corporation to work on space colonies off-world. In other words, not on the Earth. A group of rogue replicants escape back down to the Earth, and it's up to a former cop and Blade Runner, Rick Deckard, to track them down and to retire them. In other words, kill them. It's a cool story.
She's a replicant, isn't she?
I'm impressed. How many questions does it usually take to spot one?
I don't get it, Tyrell.
How many questions?
20, 30 cross-referenced.
It took more than 100 for Rachel, didn't it?
She doesn't know.
She's beginning to suspect, I think.
Suspect? How can it not know what it is?
What streaming service can you find Blade Runner on? You could find it on Netflix. Now, why should you watch Blade Runner? The first thing is it is visually a stunning movie. You'd expect a sci-fi movie to have some unique and interesting visuals, but this movie is really a step above, in my opinion, which is amazing considering it was released back in 1982 with nowhere near the CGI capability that we have today. Now, I've never been a big fan of CGI, if I'm completely honest, mostly because I'm just a fan of filmmaking. Like, what are you capable of doing with just a camera, some lighting, some practical effects? That's what I'm interested in. And this movie proves that you could do quite a bit. Now, CGI artists, I have to say this, are incredibly talented people. There's no doubt about that. But the technology that is available today makes it so that, like, literally anything is possible with CGI. And to me, that takes the fun out of it. You know, as a movie nerd, I want to see practical effects. And so when I see a 38-year-old movie like this one that looks as amazing as it does, it makes me happy. Because who knows? Maybe one day we can have a new movie in the 2000s where we don't use CGI so much and it could still look this cool. I want to go back to a world where practical filmmaking makes a return, but we still make beautiful looking movies. Another thing I want to mention regarding the era that it was released is nothing really looks cheesy in this movie. Now, sure, there are some questionable haircuts. It was the 80s, but I mean, this movie takes place in a highly futuristic dystopian society, and it doesn't look corny. It looks pretty believable. Now, we've come a long way tech-wise since 1982, so a lot of the tech that is used in the movie maybe feels a little dated, but if you just walked past a TV that was playing Blade Runner, you would not think, oh, this movie's so 80s. It doesn't feel like that. It doesn't feel like what you would think of an 80s sci-fi movie, which is kind of cool. Now, there are a few things that do feel 80s. Like, for example, the score, which, by the way, was award-winning, and it was written by the great Vangelis. It's a fantastic score, extremely synthy, as you would imagine, in 1982, and does have a futuristic feel despite feeling of an era. But I think it is perfect for the movie. Also, the presence of Sean Young in the movie does make it feel like it's from the 80s as well. But I absolutely love it. Now, the acting performances are pretty great in this movie. The cast is incredible, incredibly deep cast, so many famous people. And especially when you consider that so many of the people in this movie are essentially playing robots. They call them replicants in the movie. They're essentially playing androids. It's very impressive. Now, Harrison Ford delivers as the gruff kind of ex-cop Deckard. He's perfect in that role. Sean Young has great chemistry in this movie with Harrison Ford. But what you really want to look for is Rutger Hauer's famous Tears in the Rain monologue that he does towards the end of the movie, a portion of which he actually improvised, which is incredible. It's a fantastic performance, and throughout the movie, you get a lot of great performances from these actors. Now, critics of this movie have said in the past that the movie is more style than it is substance. In other words, looks great, but it doesn't have much depth. The story is fairly basic. I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, you can form your own opinion if you watch the movie. I think the story itself is relatively simple, right? There's a problem, and they go and find an ex-police officer who can solve this problem. I mean, this can be done outside of the world of sci-fi. It can be done in any situation, right? It's a fairly simple plot, but I think there is more than meets the eye with this movie. I don't want to be too specific, because if you're going to be watching this movie for the first time, I don't want you going in thinking about something in particular. One thing I will mention is this does cinematically remind me of film noir a little bit, like something you would see in the 1940s, that whole kind of femme fatale sort of thing about it. I really love that, because film noir is a genre of movies mostly from the 1940s, that time period, that I absolutely love. And so to see that in this kind of sci-fi setting, some of those film noir themes is really, really cool for me anyway, as a movie nerd. And I think this is a great movie. You know, it's been recognized on the AFI Top 100 list. It's been recognized by the Library of Congress. It has been preserved by the U.S. Library of Congress. I think you should check it out. I think you'll have fun watching this movie.
Let's talk movies with Eric.
So where does Harrison Ford's portrayal of Rick Deckard in Blade Runner rank amongst his best performances? Let's get into that a little bit. To me, my favorite Harrison Ford performance will always be Indiana Jones.
Well,
the city of Tanis is one of the possible resting places of the Lost Ark.
The Lost Ark?
Yeah, the Ark of the Covenant, the chest the Hebrews used to carry around the Ten Commandments.
What do you mean, Ten Commandments? You're talking about the Ten Commandments?
Yes, the actual Ten Commandments, the original stone tablets that Moses brought down out of Mount Horeb and smashed, if you believe in that sort of thing.
I mean, it's his most dynamic performance, I think, because he really has a lot of action scenes that he has to carry out. There's also a lot of humor in those movies that he has to pull off successfully. Humor is not an easy thing to do. You know, we've seen a lot of movies that are supposed to have comedic elements that kind of fall flat. He delivers. I think Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones is my favorite performance of his. Also, well, you got to mention Han Solo from Star Wars.
Han Solo, I'm Captain of the Millennium Falcon. Chewie here tells me you're looking for passage to the Alderaan system.
Yes, indeed. If it's a fast ship.
Fast ship? You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon?
Should I have?
It's a ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. I've outrun Imperial starships. Not the local bulk cruisers, mind you. I'm talking about the big Carillion ships now.
When I first saw the original Star Wars trilogy as a kid, my favorite character by far was Han Solo. Because of course he was. He was the coolest guy in the movie. And that's all Harrison Ford. And his just demeanor on screen is just fantastic. I want to mention Bob Falfa, his character in American Graffiti.
Hey man, I'm sorry if I scared you.
You're going to have to do one hell of a lot more than that to scare me.
Yeah, but looking all over for you, man. Didn't nobody tell you I was looking for you?
Hey, I can't keep track of all you punks running around here backwards.
Hey, you're supposed to be the fast thing in the valley, man, but that can't be your car. It must be your mama's car. I'm sort of embarrassed to be this close to you.
This is definitely one worthy of mentioning. The movie was released back in 1973. He was not the star of the movie, and I don't know if this is just because he was such a young guy at the time, but he was so much more animated in this movie and loudmouthed in this movie than he was in a lot of others. And so I really enjoy that performance. I think it stands out from some of his others. Another favorite of mine is the character John Book from the movie Witness. I think that is one of the most underrated and best movies from the 1980s. That's just my opinion.
I want all the paperwork on this job disappeared tonight. You understand?
John, do you know what you're telling me to do?
Just do it, man. I'm going to disappear for a couple of days.
John, what's going on, man? What is happening?
I'll call you when I can. And partner, I want you back.
And I'm very happy to put Rick Deckard from Blade Runner on this list right about here. So what about you? What is your favorite, or some of your favorite, Harrison Ford performances? He's had a long career, and he certainly has a lot of great performances under his belt. I'd love to hear from you. And if you do end up watching Blade Runner, please let me know what you thought. If there is a specific genre of movie you'd like me to cover on here, just let me know. If you have any movie-related questions you'd like to ask me, any movie debates that you'd like my take on, I brought one up today about CGI or whatever, just reach out to me. You can do that on the Eric's Movie Club Facebook page. I'll talk to you again next week.
This has been Eric's Movie Club, a Giant TV production.